Hawaii.
Steinberg.
This episode of the Paracast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/paracast. That's audiblepodcast.com/paracast. And now, on with the show. Our co-host this week is Christopher O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Before we get on with our guest, Philip M. Brockno, I wanted to talk about field investigation. You know, a lot of people who research UFOs and other paranormal events, they spend most of their time in the armchair. And certainly Charles Fort is the classic armchair investigator, right?
Indeed.
He basically spent all his time in libraries pretty much checking over books and musty newspaper clippings. Is that a valuable thing to do, or does that do a disservice to research?
Well, you can only go so far, Gene, with that kind of research. You know, having done quite a bit of it myself, I've come to the conclusion that media reports by themselves, you know, aren't oftentimes completely accurate. I found, for instance, reading a newspaper story about someone's strange experience and then contacting the witness on my own and comparing their actual firsthand first-person account to what eventually ended up in a newspaper article. And oftentimes there is a bias on the part of the reporter more times than not.
Let me ask you about that, because I have done beat reporting as a broadcast journalist. And what I noticed is I'm sitting there, I'm with the radio station, and then we have the newspaper reporters. And you put two people in the same room watching the same event, you find two different stories, sometimes with different facts.
Yep, that's true. I've had group sightings with as many as 10, 12 people where there's a slight kind of a slew, which may be personal bias. It may be people not having adequate languaging to perhaps convey details of their experience. Oftentimes the basic general perceptions are the same, but when you get into how long was it, exactly the sequence of events, oftentimes people get confused and switch things around. The one thing that I do find the most variance in is the actual time duration of an event. Some people think it's a lot quicker. Some people think it's a lot longer. And you have to sort of take an average mean, I guess, between multi-witnessed accounts. And then I think that's the best way to come up with the most accurate, I think, details of the actual sighting event or whatever type of event that it is.
There's this old gimmick they used to do on The Tonight Show. And I think even the show run by the late Steve Allen after he left The Tonight Show, where they have 10 people. And a comedian tells a joke to one of the 10 people. Each in turn repeats that joke to the next person. By the time the 10th person has heard that story, it is totally unrecognizable.
Yep, the old game telephone. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's why someone like Phil Imbrogno, I think, who we're going to, I'm just absolutely fascinated with his work. He's been very instrumental in my process. His first book that I'm aware of, Night Siege, which came out, I believe, in 87, I think I modeled some of my investigative techniques, and his bedside manner, I think, is very conducive for allowing witnesses to feel comfortable enough to fully divulge the extent of their experiences. And reading through his latest book, Files from the Edge, it just reminds me of the amazing job that he did with Bob Pratt and, in a lesser way, J. Allen Hynek, in terms of investigating the incredible amount of activity in the Hudson River Valley in the early to mid 80s. Just an absolute amazing investigator, and this is a real treat for me to actually get a chance to talk to Phil. We've never actually met. I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, of course, Phil goes out on the scene. This is one of the things that's a constant if you read the book or read his several books, as I've done, that he actually will do the studies. He'll go into the libraries, he'll go into the newspaper morgues and check the papers, but then he will spend nights. He'll travel all over his area in Connecticut and parts of New York State. And he'll actually spend nights and days trying to investigate something personally. Now, someone like you, where you have honed your investigative skills, what are the things that are most important when doing field research?
The most important thing is to write everything down. Unless you keep an accurate log of your investigative activities, there's no way that you're going to be able to make any sense of it later on down the road. And that's the first thing that I tell people who want to get involved in my sky watching network in the San Luis Valley, or who are interested in getting involved in field investigative work. That is so crucial. You really have to write everything down. Yeah, you have to assume a mundane explanation for any and all events that come your way, whether personally experienced or otherwise. I think that that's a mistake that a lot of young up-and-coming investigators make, is they already have preconceived notions of what they're dealing with, and they're front-loaded into believing that something is one thing or another thing, when they should let the facts of a particular event sort of steer them in the direction of some sort of tentative conclusion or hypothesis. I think a lot of people think they've figured it all out and they're just going out to get the data to prove their conclusions. And
so we know there's spaceships, therefore we will apply that theory to everything we see, even if it points to another direction.
Yes, and that's something that, the converse is true as well. I mean, people who go out to debunk this stuff have the same issue, which is they've already figured out in their mind there's no such thing as the paranormal, or there's no such thing as UFOs, and if they see something, they will bend over backwards to come up with even outlandish explanations to try to explain away something that could be truly high strange.
Well, that's unfortunate on both ends. But then, of course, if you're dealing with something that you can't explain, how do you even know the benchmarks? How do you find the benchmarks to determine whether something is real or some kind of natural phenomenon or a fake?
Well, again, it depends on the kind of event. Obviously, your criteria is going to be different for, some sort of ufological event, some sort of aerial object, or if you're in a haunted house doing some sort of haunted site investigation, or whether you're out tramping around looking for Bigfoot. I mean, it depends on, obviously, the type of scenario that you find yourself in. But I think everybody really needs to be as objective about investigative work out in the field as possible, and really make a concerted effort to factor out all mundane potential explanations before jumping towards the high strange. In my first book, Mysterious Valley, and in my second book, Enter the Valley, I start the book off with 13 suggested rules of investigation, which are also listed on my website. And I put those rules together in the order in which I really first got it about a particular axiom. And I think that if you go and look at those 13 rules of investigation, they'll make a lot of sense to someone that's interested in this field, especially if they're interested enough to go out in the field and do field work.
Well, certainly the other thing is here, how do you know you're not being fooled, that somebody isn't looking for their 15 minutes of fame, so they invent a UFO or a poltergeist or a strange ball of light in the sky or hooded creatures?
Well, again, when I first started as a, an aspiring full-time field investigator back in the early 90s, I was in a very remote location where I had a lot of very down-to-earth, salt-of-the-earth, straight shooters, ranchers, farmers, Forest Service people. I did not find that to be the case. I think confabulation tends to grow in terms of percentage as you get closer to the cities. That's kind of a general rule of thumb that I have. I think rural people, by and large, have nothing to gain by trying to create some sort of hoax. I think sometimes they can be mistaken or confused or maybe misinterpret, let's say, natural phenomena, for instance. But I think by and large, my personal experience out in the field, I only had a handful of cases where I felt that the person was knowingly and actively trying to hoax me. That is not to say that it's going to be the same all over, the country or the world in that regard. I think as time goes on, more and more people, I think, are looking for that Andy Warholian 15 minutes of fame, and it's becoming more of a problem.
We'll get into that in more detail in just a few moments. We'll be talking with Philip J. Imbrogno, author of a number of paranormal books, including his latest Files from the Edge, coming up next on
The Paracast.
as you know, the PowerCast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks. With more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers, for listeners of the PowerCast, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One book to consider, for example, is Above Top Secret, The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up by Timothy Good. Timothy Good, as you know, has been a guest on the PowerCast. Yet another book worth considering from Audible.com is Lies and Deception, UFOs and the Secret Agenda, from Timothy Good once again, and also from our old friend Nick Pope. As you know, Nick Pope has also been on the PowerCast. This is another book that you're definitely going to want to check out. For this book or another free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/powercast. That's audiblepodcast.com/powercast.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, August 6, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $11.9620. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $12.2828, $6.1414 for a half ounce, or $3.0707 for the quarter ounce. That's $12.2828, $6.1414, and $3.0707.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm, warning of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. CBO is drawing a parallel between U.S. economy and the Greek economic meltdown. Debt to GDP climbing to unfamiliar territory and deficits rising to unsupportable levels. Hi, Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crisis document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risks of deficit spending, aging population, and rising interest rates spells economic disaster. Call today at 800-686-2237. I'll send it free. Again, call 800-686-2237. Ask for the CBO document. Call 800-686-2237.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Phil Imbrogno joining us this week on the Paracast. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Phil, you've written a number of books on the subject. The latest, Files from the Edge, subtitled A Paranormal Investigator's Explorations into High Strangeness. So what do we define as high strangeness?
You
know, high strength just came from Dr. J. Allen Hynek. And, you know, back in the days when we were investigating ordinary UFO sightings, you know, we encountered cases that were outside of the normal UFO experience, if you can call UFOs normal. And these cases involve, you know, the sightings of alien beings, creatures from somewhere else, strange types of psychic phenomena associated with the sighting, things that were triggered by UFO sightings or UFOs in the area. He just said one day, you know, these cases have, you know, they're really high, they're really strange, you know, high strangeness. So he labeled these cases. And actually, you know, during the investigation of the Hudson Valley sightings, we had loads of high strangeness cases. And Dr. Hynek wouldn't touch him.
Okay, well, what were the things that you saw during the Hudson Valley investigation that would be classified as this high strangeness factor?
Yeah, well, you know, people were calling saying that they had sightings, and later on that night or the following days, they saw these strange entities coming into their bedroom at night, and some of them were claiming that they were on lonely, dark roads, and an object came over their car, and there were creatures in the road. They were pulled out of the road by strange creatures. Also, in a number of cases where the UFO was being spotted, people were reporting sort of like large, hairy humanoid creatures, hearing strange sound, electrostatic phenomenon, people claiming to hear voices in association with the UFO sighting and so on. So these cases were outside the normal UFO report that we were getting at that time.
If you can call them normal, of course.
Well, you know, if you can call UFO, well, to me, they're normal. I've been around UFOs so long, they're normal to me. You know, back in the 80s, as Allen Hynek said, you know, when we were discussing this, he said, well, and I said, well, this is all just part of the phenomena, even if it's something psychological or if it's something that's happening. It's happening in a multitude of experiences here. And he just, you know, puffed on his pipe and looked at me, gave me that look, and he said, you know, you cannot give the media this type of case because they'll have a field day with it. It'll make all of the other sightings that we're trying to establish as legitimate look crazy.
Is that today, a bit of a sort of political correctness, though?
Yeah, but, you know, that's true. But today, many of these sightings you see, many of these types of encounters would not be considered crazy. Back then, it was hard enough to believe in UFOs, but today, with all the paranormal stuff going on TV and all these reality shows and so on, you know, today, people are more willing to accept it, the general public, rather than to sit back and make fun of it and laugh at it.
Yes, but do you think the problem might also be that the media is playing that for entertainment, not for information?
Oh, of course. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The only reason why UFOs and the paranormal came back being so popular is because all of these experiences are taking place and people are having these experiences, and these UFOs are showing up all over the place in front of, you know, thousands of people, and the media on TV say, hey, you know, the public's interested in this, let's do a show on it. And I tell you, I've worked with many of the producers on these shows. They could give a damn about UFOs or the paranormal. All they want to do, you know, is get something out there that they could get sponsored to make a buck.
That's even true, of course, just about the day's news. You have 24/7 cable news networks, and the question here is it just to provide information about the latest news or just entertain you?
Well, you know, that's true. Unless they make it more dramatic, they're not, you know, they're not going to get people to watch it. And this is why they always give you a little taste, a little teaser before the show goes on, so you stay tuned. Or if a commercial's coming on, they give you a teaser.
You know what bothers me most about the teaser, though, is that they'll give you a teaser coming up shortly, a story about this incredible object seen in China or something, and then they go to about 4 segments. Each of which is promoting this particular segment before you actually see it. I mean, that's even worse than bait and switch, huh?
Oh, of course. They all do that, and it's done right across the board. I'm watching the History Channel right now, and they're doing the show on Ancient Aliens. They're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
How it goes. Okay, now, in Files from the Edge, how does this book differ from your previous works?
Well, you know, all of my previous works have dealt with, they were all orientated or focused more or less around the UFO phenomenon. Over the years, I've collected a number of cases which I just filed away. I mean, files, you know. So the book really deals with other aspects of a paranormal experience other than UFO sightings. Even though UFOs are considered a paranormal experience, you know, there are many cases that border around it that have come to my attention over the years, and this is where Files of the Edge came, Files from the Edge came from. They're more or less cases that were high strangeness in character that have just been put away in my library.
Okay, now are these cases that you actually went on the scene to investigate, reports that you dealt with by checking out letters and library information or by telephone calls? How do you separate them?
Well, both, you know, all of the above. Some cases were investigated by library, you know, and making phone calls. And some of the cases I was out there in person investigating in person, especially if it occurs within, let's say, driving distance, you know, I'm not going to pass that up. No matter what you do, talk on the phone or whatever, you're really not going to get a good grasp of the case unless you're in the field doing it and talking to the witnesses face-to-face.
Does that also help you find evidence of possible deception on the part of some witnesses?
You know, it does. It does. It's easier to tell deception if you're there in person. But, you know, you have to ask yourself, you know, if this person is telling you a fabrication, what are they trying to achieve here?
Yeah, what's the motivation?
What's the motivation? What are they trying to achieve for themselves? And, you know, in some cases, you know, I've had people saying, you know, I think this would make a good TV show, or this would make a good chapter in a book, or this would make a so-and-so. One particular individual asked me, you know, he told me a story, and it's a fantastic story, incredible story, and he wanted $10,000.
I'll tell you what, we'll talk about the $10,000, but first we have to make money for ourselves, a little bit of lunch money. We're talking to Philip Imbrogno, author of a number of books, including Files from the Edge. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Okay, neighbors, here's the problem. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues are always going to be important. But business travel is a hassle, and it's often a complete waste of money. Well, here's a solution for you. Do more, travel less with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. With just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your own desk. Avoid the hassle of traveling and still exceed your sales goals. Plus, GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. Plus, voice over IP and phone conferencing is included. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Once again, GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Remain in your houses. The President of the United States has declared martial law under Executive Order 11004.
Will they do it? Will they pull the trigger this time? We all pray they stand down, but an engineered crisis seems more likely with each passing day. Think it can't happen here? Executive Order 10990 locks down all highways. Executive Order 10995 seizes control of all media outlets. Executive Order 10998 controls all farms and food supplies. All these executive orders are now cocked, loaded, and waiting for the right crisis. So if you're worried about the possibility of martial law here in America or have questions about how to survive it, go to martiallawsurvival.com. That's martiallawsurvival.com. Go to martiallawsurvival.com right now.
You must remain in your houses until your bracelets are scanned.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have Philip Imbrogno. He's author of a book called Files from the Edge, A Paranormal Investigator's Explorations into High Strangeness. And that's what we get to explore this time. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Chris, you have the floor.
Well, I find it very fascinating that someone should actually pump you for $10,000 to divulge their story. That would ring Big Ben's bell in my book. Phil, one thing that I really want to talk about here, I think early on in our show here is the wonderful area, the geographic area that you have done most of your investigative work in. And that is the Hudson Valley region, going up the tri-state area of Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey. One thing that I should say before I ask my question, and that is, I really do have a sense that there are areas on our planet that seem to be magnets or seem to be doorways or portal areas for unusual events, and they seem to cluster around there in a variety and intensity that you don't find elsewhere. The San Luis Valley, where I did 13 years of investigative work in the field, I consider to be one of those areas. I have a suspicion that you also feel that the Hudson Valley region is an area, as I'm describing. And if you would, tell us your feelings about this and how you've come to your conclusions.
The Hudson Valley area has been rich in folklore for, you know, scores and scores of years, ever since colonial days and pre-colonial days. I mean, you know, in the Catskills, you have stories of gnomes who come from another world into our world every 22 years. And also you have all of these legends of beings that occasionally pop in out of nowhere. Recently, there were Bigfoot sightings in the Catskills, and the creatures just disappear. Well, you know, my conclusions at the Hudson Valley are portal areas. It comes from basically from the UFO investigations that I've done. And, you know, back in the 1980s, I really didn't consider, you know, the idea of portals to another reality. there were all of these sightings taking place, and you know, and there were so many sightings taking place that I was able to plot them on a map, and I noticed that there was a starting point or an emanation point from area in Putnam County. And it seems that the sightings took place there, the first sightings and the last sighting took place there. And you have this burst of all of this type of paranormal phenomena that was associated with this. And it seems that every time before you have a massive number of UFO sightings, you see paranormal events in an area break out. And when the UFOs disappear, you also see paranormal events break out again. It's as if a door is opening and closing like the cold air coming through in the wintertime. But you know, it made me really think about it when Alan Hynek said to me, and I asked him, well, you know, what's going on here? Why do we have so many sightings in here? And he said to me, look for portals. Look for windows. He believed that, you know, the UFOs, most of them were from another reality, windows from another reality. And over the years, you know, since that time, I've collected enough reports about things going on in this area, in the Hudson Valley area, which is a pretty vast area, by the way, to convince me that, you know, this area here actually at times connects with the multidimensional universe, and that there are multiple dimensions that open up these portals where entities or beings or UFOs or whatever you want to call them, different types of phenomena enter our world. And it's probably possible for us to enter their world, even though I think these portals are one way.
Is this like the TV show Primeval, by the way? The British TV show where they always show creatures leaving and entering some sort of circular portal?
Yeah, but you know, that's Hollywood and stuff. I don't even know if we could see these portals because they exist in a dimensional state. We have to
do they move or
between we have to differentiate between a wormhole and a portal. Okay? Portals connect other dimensions to us, while wormholes connect other universes, parallel universes to us. And there's two different things here. Wormholes require a considerable amount of energy to create, and portals happen when, you know, the space-time sort of thing between the dimensions is bended, sort of like a hose. You know, if you have a hose and you hold it out straight, you know, you're on top of one part of the hose, and that's your dimension. However, if we curve it around, you know, all of a sudden, you know, your dimensional area has changed. So the actual aspect of space may actually bend from time to time, allowing a close-by dimension to merge in with ours.
Well, I have a question. How do you differentiate, that's probably the wrong word, how do you determine where these portals are? Are they consistent? Are they static in terms of their location? Do they move? And how do you determine, or what would you say are the geophysical elements that may somehow come into play here? What you're describing to me sounds like if you take taffy and stretch it, you know, holes develop, and to me, a portal is like a place where the reality gets thin and transparent, and possibly even breaks and allows for an opening. Have you seen any sort of location specific areas that are static, or do these portal windowed areas, do they move? What is your thinking on that?
I believe that there are a number of portal areas, let's say, in the Hudson Valley, and that they are active all the time. I think it's almost impossible to predict because we don't know enough about this type of phenomenon, which, you know, is theoretically possible in the new physics. What I did is that after I plotted all the UFO sightings, I noticed that they were centralized and they stretch out over a certain area and so on and so on. But also, you know, I collected these cases of high strangeness, and later on I took another map and plotted those cases. And they were not spread out over the Hudson Valley, the tri-state area. They were concentrated in particular areas. Very small areas, less than about a half a kilometer, in some cases a kilometer across. And they were clustered. And Well, the next step, of course, would be to go out there and see what you can find. In every case in the Hudson Valley, every time I went out there, I found what was considered, what is still considered now, a carved standing stone, an ancient stone structure that seemed to mark these areas. Someone was doing it a long time ago. So, you know, the thing is that it's almost impossible to locate these portals just by, you know, seeing where UFOs appear, because the UFOs could come out of these portals and travel distances. So I was lucky because I had enough data from investigating all of these reports that were coming to my attention. It's like having your own laboratory-controlled area in your backyard. So I had enough data to actually plot the locations of these areas of high strangeness. Now, we noticed, and I noticed, that there were seven major areas in the Hudson Valley, and they really concentrated around, well, Putnam County, Dutchess County, and Upper Westchester County. There were also cases taking place on the west side of the Hudson. But, you know, this was enough work already. You know, I haven't really even dealt with those cases yet on the west side of the Hudson, in Ellenville and Pine Bush and so on. So we have seven locations here that were clustered with these high strangers. And when we went out to each location, like I said, we found an ancient stone structure, which is a whole different story, which is the product of one of my books called Celtic Mysteries in New England. But these areas were built on intense magnetic anomalies.
I'll tell you, okay? We'll get into more of that in a moment here. We have Phil Imbrogno, author of the book Files from the Edge. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight, that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We have Phil Imbrogno, author of Files from the Edge, subtitled A Paranormal Investigator's Explorations into High Strangeness, which is very much what we're discussing. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Now, I had one question here from one of our forum members. We have forum.theparacast.com, where we have like 100,000 messages from our listeners. We talk about a variety of subjects. And I posted a thread in there because I wanted people, if they had some questions, to ask you those questions. Here's one of them here, which is it possible that electronic interference from a power station surges might cause some kind of magnetic radiation that causes people to be impacted in terms of their brain waves so they perceive things that really aren't there?
Interesting question, because I've heard of this before. And it does seem that, you know, when human beings go into areas that have intense magnetic anomalies, there is a physiological effect and, you know, there is a psychological effect. Now, people who I brought into these areas, not even telling them what I found with the magnetometers, not all of them, but the majority of people all of a sudden feel pressure on their head. They start getting a headache. Some of them feel nauseous. Some of them start feeling dizzy. You know, these are effects that you see over and over again, and it's been documented over and over again in my research. But getting back to these areas, you know, these areas were sitting on magnetic anomalies. And the thing is that the exact center of the high strangeness area was not a positive magnetic anomaly. It was surrounded by a positive magnetic anomaly.
Okay, so can we possibly consider the suggestion that some of these things are based on a natural phenomenon, the magnetic anomaly, not something that's high strangeness?
Well, you know, that's always a possibility with some people reporting certain things. But, you know, if you have, for example, people seeing apparitions, people seeing enormous lighted objects that, you know, come along the road, spook-like sort of phenomena. I mean, you know, you have to consider that it's seen over and over again by multiple witnesses that are independent of each other also. You know, whether or not it's some natural phenomena. Yeah, if it's a natural phenomena, if it's from another dimension, it's a natural phenomena. I mean, you know, but one of the things that people have a tendency to do when they relate a paranormal experience, they associate it with the supernatural. I just think we're looking at certain things in science and forces and so on that we don't fully understand yet. So, you know, we do a lot of hocus-pocus about it.
Do you see a parallel between the close proximity of, let's say, maximum magnetic field strength in close proximity to minimum intensity field strength? I definitely did in the San Luis Valley.
Yes, and this is what I'm trying to point out to, you know, certain people that I'm researching with. They don't understand is that you have this high magnetic anomaly that practically goes off the chart. And then in the center there, it drops down into these locations where there's a negative magnetic anomaly going well below the actual normal reading of the Earth's magnetic field there. And there's a geological answer for that up here, is that most of the areas where these high strangeness things occur are sitting on top of enormous deposits of quartzite and magnetite. I mean, so this is why you have the anomaly. So we know that the anomaly is causing something there, and it possibly could be causing, at times, these bending of space, allowing these portals to exist and this phenomena to enter our world.
Okay, you know, the skeptic would drop in here, the skeptical viewpoint, and we want to address this because we should, would suggest, okay, if you have magnetic anomalies, maybe this is all caused by illusions. Where's the evidence that it's something more than just an illusion, people seeing things?
Well, illusions can't be photographed or videotaped or so on and registered.
Or leave physical trace evidence.
Right, and, you know, so, but there are certain things that take place at these locations that do have, seem to have a psychic effect, which can't be measured. So the thing you have to answer to yourself or find out is that, is just self-induced because, you know, the brain is misfiring because of the magnetic fields, people seeing visions, for example, or hearing voices. So what you have to do is you have to take into account that it does happen over and over again. And, you know, and basically, you know, people are reporting the same thing, even though I do think that some of it's over-exaggerated.
What interests me is the reports that you run where someone encounters something really strange at one location and it seems to follow them, which obviously takes them out of this so-called portal area. And that becomes more and more intriguing and frightening. Can you mention one or two cases quickly enough to see how this is expressed in terms of being followed by the phenomena?
Yeah, well, you know, people who go out in the area and they have experiences, they have these close encounters, they have these encounters with these little hooded beings and so on, or light phenomena. After they have their experience, they seem to have experiences over and over again, as if it follows them home or it follows into their house.
Hitchhikers.
And it starts appearing. Yeah, or, you know, maybe it's whatever it is. It sounds like it's an intelligence, something, you know, and it's fascinated with the human being. So it's following them home. It attached themselves to them. This has happened over and over again. What's behind it, I don't know. I mean, some people who've never had an experience, a UFO, a paranormal experience, they want to go out to these areas, for example, and you know, see something. This is what they want to do. And they do see something, and they get terrified, and they continue to have experiences after that, not in the area where they originally had the sighting or the encounter, but they start seeing things in their home also.
Well, do you see a correlation between their emotional state? You mentioned they were terrified. Now, do you see some sort of correlation between people who have what they perceive as a negative or a frightening experience more prone to picking up some sort of hitchhiker and bringing them home? Or is this just something that doesn't have any rhyme or reason to it?
You know, really doesn't have any rhyme or reason. I guess it depends upon the individual and how you look at it. Yeah, some people, you know, to them, this is something you read about on TV. This is something you read about in the book. It's not a reality until you have an experience with themselves. And then it becomes very real to you, and all of a sudden their view of reality changes. So the thing you have to ask yourself, did the encounters that took place later on, are they real or are they just created after having a paranormal experience? You know, we really don't know. I mean, there were a number of places where houses were being, you know, people who live in a house were having all this phenomena taking place. They went out to an area, they had a sighting, and they had an encounter with some strange being, and all of a sudden starts appearing in their house with them. And of course, you know, a number of cases I went out there to the house and didn't see anything. But when I leave, I get a call saying, you know, it happened again. And of course, you have to consider that whatever and whoever is there is not going to put on a show for me. But it seems to be selective to certain individuals after that.
Sounds like the trickster to me.
Big time.
Yeah, which kind of leads me to another question here. You have a short mention here in Files from the Edge about the trickster who you actually name as a potential force or element here. Most of the time when you read books by Kiel or Vallée, some of the phenomenal events are described as trickster-ish, but very rarely have I seen somebody actually finger the trickster as being a potential, you know, element in a case or in a series of cases. What are your feelings about a potential collective manifestation that could be described archetypally as a trickster figure?
Well, you know, in the area up here, the idea of the trickster goes back to Native Americans hundreds of years ago. Certain areas were up here that we're seeing UFOs today, and people are seeing alien beings, people are seeing creatures and so on. These are particular areas, these high strangeness areas. Some of them were once Native American sacred ground, which they said was the home of a trickster. And, you know, we see this element over and over again in the paranormal. And if you have to consider that if all of these other dimensions exist, a close-by dimension to us, another reality, as Dr. Hynek used to say, in that other reality, there may be intelligent beings that have been interacting with the human race for who knows how long.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into these other dimensions in our next segment. We have Philip Imbrogno, author of Files from the Edge. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.